seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 21, and the first part in verse 12. John's Gospel, chapter 21, and the first part in verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. John 21 and verse 12, the first part really, I'll read the whole verse. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. We have here this blessed account of how the dear Lord Jesus made himself known to these dear disciples. We read, don't we, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. What a wonderful mercy, wherefore we are favoured to have the Lord show himself to us as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. We sing in the hymn, don't we, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. And here he was to reveal himself to these dear disciples by some wonderful things. And the Lord, you see, is a sovereign. He revealed himself and showed himself to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road, didn't he? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And oh, how the dear apostle had to fall before the Saviour. And here we find him speaking to these dear disciples. Now there were gathered together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. And you see, he'd risen from the tomb, the glorious head of the Church of God, and here he was to show these dear disciples his power, his wisdom in all things, and how all things were in his hand. But then we find Peter, who, as I've said on many occasions, was a master fisherman. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. This was, of course, his occupation. But here we find Peter, we may say in some ways, left to himself, I go a-fishing. And how many times we see this, don't we, if we know our own heart, we say, I will do this and I will do that. It's the many common sayings of man. But you see, there are many things that we cannot do. We may be, like Peter, a master in it. But what happened? Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And then they say unto him, we also go with thee. They were willing, you see, to go away from the Saviour and to go into these fish in boats. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. It was a barren season to them, wasn't it? And there are a few things I want to just look at in leading up to the text. You know, we can soon bring ourselves into a barren season. So there's no fruit inwardly within us. You see, they were going to be taken up with this fishing all night. But it didn't profit them anything, did it? They caught nothing. And so therefore it was a barren time. But think about it in our souls. We are told the rebellious dwell in a dry land. In other words, a barren land. And I hadn't thought of naming this, but you see, when we rebel against the Lord, or maybe against His commandments, or we may be rebelling against the things the Lord has brought us into, and nothing comes upon us by chance. And that rebellion rises up within us, but where does it bring us? Into a barren land. Oh, it does. So there's no profit in our souls. And that's a solemn searching place. To a real exercised child of God that's got God's grace in them and His fear, it'll really trouble them. Oh, it will. It may be you're going in and out of the house of God. It seems like a barren land. Because of what's in your heart. And the Lord hide in His face. We read, don't we, in the Psalms, Thou hidest Thy face and we are troubled. And there are times, you know, when each one of God's dear people, when they know those times of barrenness, but they know when He appears. Oh, they will. And here these dear disciples, they toiled all night. And they caught nothing. And it may be you've prayed all night long. And yet got no answer. There are times, you know, and it's increasing prayer within our heart night and day, and yet we get no answer. And it seems as though the Lord has turned a deaf ear to our cry. We think of the hymn writer when he said, concerning Jeremiah knew it, you see. He said, I cry and shout. And all my prayer He seems to shut out. It's a painful place. And it didn't matter how skilled they were here in their fishing. They'd gone away from the Saviour, you see. And they'd gone out into the sea. But the mercy was this. It wasn't all going to be night, was it? You see, they toiled all night. What follows the night? The morning. And we read here, but when the morning was now come, and when the morning comes, there's light, isn't there, looking at it naturally. Different than the darkness of night. And this was to be a wonderful season for them. They were to be brought out of this barrenness, brought out into light and into liberty. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. He was hid from them. It was he himself on that shore, seeing all that they were in. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, the Lord sees everything that his dear people are in. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Our life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. He sees us when we see not him, and always hears our cry. And there he was upon the shore, seeing all what they were in, knowing they'd caught nothing. It seemed to come to me, you see, how easy we can be drawn away from the Saviour. First, to be in real spiritual profit, we must be near to Christ, living near him. You look at dear John. We read concerning him. He leaned upon the Lord's breast. He lived ever so close to the dear Redeemer. You read the epistle of John, or those three epistles, and you look at the nearness there was in the dear man's heart to his dear Redeemer. Then we read what Jesus said to them. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered, No. You see, these were the Lord's dear children, but they got no meat. Now, you see, they toiled all night. And, you know, the morning, there's no doubt they felt really hungry. Oh, they did. You've been up all night. You know what it is. And the morning comes, there's great hunger. Looking at it naturally. And he said to them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And then he speaks to them to prove the wonders that he alone could do. And there may be those of you tonight, you may look in your heart and you say, Lord, we've got nothing. You know, it's a good place for us really to be brought. We've got nothing, because then we shall be dependent upon the Lord, you see. They were depending prior to this on their nets and on their skill in fishing. But it was to all to none avail, wasn't it? So, what does Jesus do? They had nothing. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. You see, there is the right side where we should cast the net. Do what the Lord commands. And as they did what he commanded, what happened? And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Look how everything was in his hand, you see, the sea was in his hand, the fishes were in his hand. All events at his command. And it may be, in your heart or in your pathway, you need the Lord to appear, and you say, well, I've got nothing, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm poor, I'm helpless. But you know, where are you looking? And where am I? Look to Jesus. Mercy flows through his precious blood. And they did what the Lord commanded them. You know, the Lord will always honour them that do what he commands them. If he commands your poor soul to sit still, you sit still. If he bids you go forward, you go forward. You look in the case of the Red Sea. He told them through Moses to stand still. Hardest thing in the world for them to do. Faced with all Pharaoh's hosts. But when the Lord was to work, what did he say to them? Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And they had to venture. And venturing upon the Lord. Venture on him, the hymn writer said, venture wholly. Now they ventured here to cast the net on the right side of the ship. And what happened? The net was immediately filled with fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. You see, he was showing them who he was. It is the Lord. And if you can feel in the afflictions you may be in, or the trial you may be in, or the bitter path you may be in, it is the Lord. It'll make even the bitter sweet. Oh, it will. It is the Lord. You think of what Eli said when the news came of Hophni and Phinehas, their solemn death. What did he say? He didn't murmur or complain about it all, did he? He said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Submissive, you see, to the Lord's will. It is the Lord. Oh, those words were very sweet to me, you know, as I read the chapter earlier today. It is the Lord. You know, there's a beautiful hymn on that, isn't it? It is the Lord enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. And then we read the words of our text. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. You know, there's something very interesting in this. And may the Lord help me to just set it before you. He didn't say to them, go and dine. Because they got all the fishes which he had provided. He could have said to them, go and dine, but he didn't. He said to them, come and dine. You know, there's a vast difference. You see, in him saying, and it dropped in so sweetly as soon as the text dropped in, the sweet invitation of the Saviour to them, come and dine. In other words, they got to come and dine with him. And what a favour to dine with our Lord. Sweet invitation to them, wasn't it? And to poor, needy sinners in 2019. Oh, how music will be to their ears when sin lays heavy on their hearts and weighed down by sorrow and many other cares. He says, come and dine. You may say, what, such an unworthy sinner? Yes, come and dine. Now, they're not my words. They're the words of the Saviour. I woke with this word during the night before last. During the night, I woke and those words seemed to drop in with such sweetness. Come and dine. And one had a little meditation upon it, thinking of these hungry fishermen. And I went to sleep. And thinking of it last evening and what hymn we would close with, and, you know, the word had completely gone from me. And I said, Lord, do, if it's right that I should bring it here this evening, do bring it back. And I picked the Bible up in the lounge and I just opened and it fell open on this 21st chapter of John. And there it was before me. Come and dine. And you know, it was so sweet. I felt, you know, what a sweet invitation to needy sinners. Come and dine. Well, let us look at it just briefly in a few ways. Firstly, they were hungry. Oh, they were. They toiled all night. The Lord had wonderfully provided for them. Now, the first thing we need to consider, what sort of hunger have you and what sort of hunger have I? I don't mean just naturally. It's a wonderful thing to have an appetite naturally. And we should bless and praise the Lord when you see some in deep affliction that have got no appetite, cannot eat. It's a wonderful thing to have a good appetite for the nourishing of our bodies, for the sustaining of our minds and all our faculties. But you think there they were hungry. So this was a beautiful invitation to them, come and dine. And they weren't to dine with just an ordinary man, though he was verily man, yet verily God. He knew what it was to hunger. Oh, he did. As a man. But think about it spiritually. This is how it seemed to so rest upon me. Have we a real hunger in our soul? Is our cry, give me Christ or else I die? A hunger for the gospel. A hunger for pardon. A hunger for peace. A hunger for Christ and his righteousness. And if there's a real appetite, you see, the child of God will want to go up for there to hear the glorious gospel preached. Because in that gospel, there's blessed wine for sinners. They can dine. They nourish by the wine of the gospel. Christ and him crucified. He doesn't mean anything to the world or to the natural man, does he? When I was so blessed in my teenage days and I had such a hunger for the Word. There were weeks I went to the house of God every day of the week. I couldn't get there quick enough. I wanted something further from the Lord. Wonderful days they were. There was no days like the days of our espousal. You read it in the Song of Solomon. Such a blessed appetite. It's give me Christ or else I die. And these dear disciples there, they were to hear this beautiful word, come. It's a gospel word to sinners, isn't it? Come. Think of that beautiful word in that last chapter of the Revelation. When my father passed away, the late Mr. Seymour, the memorial service spoke from it, preached from it. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Beautiful invitation to sinners, isn't it? The gospel word to sinners is come. And how can they come? You can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. But are to come to God's house and dine upon the word and upon the gospel, upon the ministry, upon the hymns, upon the reading of the word. It's a good feeding ground for sinners, you know. Oh, it is. You can dine there, can't you? There's that which satisfies the need of the soul of the child of God. You can give the poor sinner all the world and all its pleasures and all the things. It'll mean nothing to them. All they want is Christ. Now, he gave this invitation, and that's what seems so sweet to me, to these dear disciples, come and dine. They were to come to this feast which he had provided, and they were to dine there with their king. And really, what are those seasons? They're sweet foretastes of what it'll be in heaven. Oh yes, where there's a continual dining with the dear Redeemer. Oh, there is. Communing with him. You see, the sweet communion with Christ. So he says here, come, Jesus saith unto them. It was personal to these dear disciples, and may speak it personally to one here tonight. Come and dine. And then, of course, there's a coming and dining at the Lord's table. The sacred ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Come and dine. You know, when the late Jabez Field and his wife were so exercised at Lamberhurst about joining the church, the late Mr. Barker from Bexley came for the afternoon service. He knew nothing what they were in, but the Lord did. They wanted something from heaven, you see. And this text we have tonight was his text. And the Lord sealed it home to them, you see. Oh, he did. That's what they got to do. Come and dine. And you see, in the sacred ordinances the Lord has, there's a dining time where you can banquet with your king. You think in the Song of Solomon, then I must leave it because of the time, but you think in the Song of Solomon, what do we read? The spouse said this, he brought me. She didn't come herself. He brought her. She says this, he brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. The Lord bring, and this is what the Lord was doing here, you see. He speaks this word, come and dine. He's drawing them to himself, to dine with him. And what a dining time it was. And none of the disciples dare ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. They'd seen the miracle that he had performed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fishes likewise. Now, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Just one thing that seems to come, and I will name it. You go into the Acts of the Apostles. When the dear Apostle Peter went to the house of Cornelius and preach to them a precious Jesus, we read this in verse 41 of the 10th chapter. Not, and may we know the reality of it. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, and then listen, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And oh dear, Peter could well preach this dear Redeemer, couldn't he? He'd know what it was to eat and to drink with him. And what a favour. The Lord favours you to eat and drink with him here, poor soul. You'll know what it is to eat and drink with him in glory. Oh, yes.